Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And football fans, DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. So download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KSN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Greg Pickle. And I know we still have a lot of new listeners tuning in these last couple weeks. And just to let you know, we occasionally will do a series of shows on a specific topic. And Greg, since you are the recruiting guru, and recruiting is the lifeblood of college football, I wanted to discuss with you recruiting through the years with James Franklin. There's been a lot of talk that the last year or two of recruiting hasn't been the best for Penn State. What I wanted to do is go back year by year and see how James Franklin and his staff did with their recruiting. Now, Franklin came in 2014, was able to be a little bit a part of that recruiting class. But I wanted to do year by year and start with 2015, which was his first full year of recruiting. You and I have been looking at the list. And just to remind folks what that class looked like, its national rank was 14th. This was the class of Saquon Barkley, John Reed, Garrett Taylor, Juwan Johnson, Ryan Bates, Sterling Jenkins, Manny Bowen, Ryan Buchholz, Andre Robinson, Irvin Charles, Brandon Polk, Stephen Gonzalez, Sharif Miller, Tommy Stevens, Kevin Givens, Robert Windsor. That was the group. Just your first overall reaction looking back at that class again, Greg, what's your first reaction to it?
Yeah, so let me start off by saying this. You know, we can sit here to the point you made just a few minutes ago and say that recruiting has not been great the last year, the last 2 years, whatever. But you know what? Until you get this far removed from a class like we are now with the class of 2015, it's really hard, Jim, I think, to label a class awesome, bad, good, okay, average, above average, below average, whatever. It's just, you know, you can do it just looking at the results on paper, but until you have the time to actually sit down and review what these guys did based on what was expected, it's a really tall task, I think, and a really, you know, it can be misleading both ways. So, you know, let's just look at the top five, I guess, of this class to start based on the 247 Sports composite ranking. You had Saquon Barkley, who was the number 13 player at his position, number 119 overall. Obviously, he ended up being much better than those rankings indicated, even though he was rated very highly coming out of high school. John Reed, then right behind him, the corner, 124 nationally, 16th at his position. I think there were some Penn State fans who had a love-hate relationship with John Reed, Jim. I don't know how you think about that. I'm sure I'll get your opinion here in a second. But, you know, I think he was better than what Penn State fans typically gave him credit for. However, you know, there was a point there up until the injury where he was on track to maybe be a first or second round pick, and it just never really materialized that way for him. He had some moments where he flashed, but that injury was just such a major setback for him that it kind of changed the trajectory of his career. You know, Garrett Taylor was a four-star, number 17 corner, number 125 nationally. He obviously moved to safety before his Penn State time was up. Was a strong, reliable, solid starter in the Big Ten. Obviously, was probably better against the run as opposed to the pass, which has been a trend now for, you know, quite some time when it comes to Penn State safety. So, you know, probably not what we expected him to be, but not too far off from it either. And then obviously Juwan Johnson rounds out the or is number four on that list. I'm sorry, he's number 128 nationally and number 13 in his position. Again, a guy who had some tremendous moments in blue and white, but not nearly as many as we thought he would. He just never felt like he matched what what the expectations were for him. And then obviously he finishes his career at Oregon. And then you have Ryan Bates, who rounds out the top five, number 161 nationally. He was rated as the number 12 offensive tackle, a four-star recruit, Jim. And when you look at his career again, I think that he was another guy Penn State fans kind of had a love-hate relationship with, but he was darn solid. There's no way of arguing that. And was he maybe the superstar that some thought he could be? No. But was he a reliable starter in the Big Ten? Yes. And I think when you're talking about four-star recruits, you know, you can expect that to be the baseline. And if you get more than that, you get more than that, as Penn State obviously did with Barkley and some others over the years. So, yeah, I think that's a good starting point, Jim, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this group.
First of all, any class that has a Saquon Barkley in it, that's pretty good. Okay, that's certainly a good starting point. You mentioned John Reed. I believe he started very early in his career, or at least got on the field very quickly, which I think raises the level of expectation among fans. I look at Keaton Ellis as a comparable player who came on as a freshman, saw so much action that Penn State fans were thinking, gee, look at this kid coming on as a freshman. Think what he'll be in a year or two. And I believe sometimes that raises that expectation level. It's fascinating to me, though, when you see the list in hindsight. As I said, this was the ranked 14th in the country, this class, which was probably about where it should be. Maybe it could have been a little bit higher. But overall, a good list of names with a lot of folks, players who had great Penn State careers. It is fascinating to me, though, to see a name like Andre Robinson, the Harrisburg running back. He and Barkley came in, and I could remember to this day when that class came out, we having a debate on our show of which one would be the better recruit.
Yeah, and I believe there was a colleague of ours who was very, 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 very convinced that it would be Andre Robinson, which...
Let me interrupt you. I chose not to mention Andy Shea's name.
Okay, fair enough. I will choose not to mention Andy's name then either. But anyway.
Okay.
I look at it like this. That's a good jumping off point here too, because again, there were some guys in this class that we thought were going to be studs. Let's talk about if we're going to talk about guys we thought would be studs, let's talk about Sterling Jenkins, Manny Bowen, and Kamonte Carter. They're the next three guys who were four stars in this group, followed by Ryan Buchholz, Paris Palmer, and as you mentioned, Andre Robinson. Irvin Charles had a four-star billing as well. I mean, it goes to show that even though you get a bunch of four stars, it does not guarantee. Now, again, I don't want to make this. This is not an indictment of the star rating system. It works. It's proven to work. And I think that there's no argument to really be made there, Jim. But it's also not a guarantee. I mean, I just rattled off that list of four stars, and some guys had injuries, some guys had other issues, but I don't know if you could say any of them lived up to the billing that their rating and their kind of expectations coming out of high school really led us to believe that these guys were going to be big time impact players, and that really just wasn't the case. And with Andre, I mean, yeah, he had a nice, I think that he could have had a nice career if he didn't have the freight train Saquon Barkley in front of him, but it just, what do you do at that point? As Saquon kind of made his, made his name for himself, it was really no chance for Andre to really do the same, because obviously they weren't going to take Saquon off the field, which is why Andre ultimately ended his career at Delaware. But yeah, if there's anything you can say about this 15 class, Jim, it's that, you get Barkley in it, and that covers up a lot of the other issues. But I mean, this was just a class just chock full of guys that did not necessarily reach the level that we thought they would.
Well, in this class, there were 14 guys who were four stars, 11 guys who were three stars. And among that 14, I think there was a good percentage of them that became starters, became significant players with the team. And that's all you could really expect. You're not going to hit on all of them. So when judging, say, James Franklin and his staff, I think the fact that you had more four stars than three stars, that's a good starting point. but also when you're going to judge their recruiting skills is I think you've got to look at the bottom half of the recruiting list and ranking and say, were they able to find some gems there among the three stars? And what's really fascinating and a great example of that is Robert Windsor was the lowest ranked player in this class. I think he certainly turned out well, and he was not in their traditional recruiting ground. He was from Wisconsin.
Right, and the Lions really had to hold off Wisconsin at the end of that recruitment, Jim, to be able to land his services. You look a little out, you know, you look further down towards bottom third ranking-wise of this class. You know, Kevin Givens has had a productive NFL career, and I'm not sure everyone was in agreement with the idea of him leaving school early like he did, but it's worked out quite fine for him, a guy who came to Penn State as a running back slash linebacker and ended up as a defensive tackle. Certainly, I think it's playing better at the next level than he did at Penn State, which sometimes that happens. But, you know, obviously the foundation was set for that in-state college. You know, Nick Bowers, his final season at Penn State was very important. He became that second tight end, that blocking tight end, and really, really kind of gave Penn State's offense a different dynamic that it had not had before. And how can we go any further without talking about Tommy Stevens, who was also in this class as a dual threat quarterback who enrolled early. He was almost, barely made the top 650 in the class, was number 22 at his position. But he obviously had a lot of success and a lot of good moments at Penn State, too. It didn't work out for him in terms of beating out Trace or Sean Clifford for a starting job. So he ultimately finishes his career at Mississippi State. But, yeah, this is certainly an interesting class to look back on, Jim, an interesting class to look back on, because you see these guys who were maybe a little bit further down the rankings, but were bigger parts of wins and program's overall success than some of the guys that were rated more highly. And that's going to happen from time to time. But the other thing I would say is that as we go through this series, I'll be willing to bet you that by the end of it, Jim, we find that there's more guys who were 4 and 5 stars that contributed than ones that did not, or 3 stars that really kind of took over the program and shined. And obviously we won't get to Trace McSorley in this starting in 2015. But yeah, ultimately, a very interesting concept and series we're kicking off here. And this 15 class is probably the most fascinating one to do it with just because of how many guys were rated so highly but then ultimately pan out.
I believe there's one other point that we didn't hit on is Penn State was still reeling from the sanctions at this point. So considering all that, I believe this was a pretty good class for James Franklin. That is it for quarter number 2 of our show. Stick around in quarter number 3. We take your questions when we ask Greg.
DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. Download the DraftKings app now and use code KSN. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.